little paths, you know, that it creates this labyrinth of memory and time that seems it's both one thing and a million things at the same time.
That's sort of the intention, yeah.
What about the performance? I mean, were you?
Yeah. I mean, and he turned it on as well. Yes, he did. He turned it on.
Got a standing ovation too, you know.
Oh, did he? Oh, wow. Done it. I'm there at last. Yeah.
See you in a minute. See you.
Tom Service with this week's edition of Music Matters, and the programme was produced by Jeremy Evans. You can download the show as a podcast, sign up for the Music Matters newsletter and follow the team on Twitter, all at bbc.co.uk/radio3. This is BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's a minute after one. Time now for the news with Ian Skelly.
People are fleeing the main Libyan rebel stronghold of Benghazi as gunfire and explosions are heard around the city. A rebel leader says all areas of Benghazi are being bombarded and the international community has to act to prevent a catastrophe. The UN Refugee Agency says it's prepared for up to 200,000 people fleeing the fighting. Libya has told the international community that it has no right to interfere in its affairs. Colonel Gaddafi has written to several world leaders, including David Cameron, to tell them the UN resolution for a no-fly zone is invalid. In Paris, a meeting has begun to discuss how to proceed. A French official has suggested that military strikes could take place within hours of the talks. The Labour leader Ed Miliband has told his party, which is meeting in Glasgow, that military action in Libya is justified. He said Britain could not stand by while Colonel Gaddafi murdered his own people. But he admitted it was a difficult decision to send British troops into possible combat. Japan has stopped the sale of all food produced in the Fukushima area, where a nuclear power plant has badly been damaged in last week's earthquake. The authorities say they've found low levels of radiation contamination in some milk and spinach produced outside the exclusion zone around the power station. They're insisting there's no risk to human health. At the plant, engineers say they've made good progress in restoring electricity to the reactors and to the cooling systems. Rescue teams searching for a missing mountaineer in Scotland say they've found a body. A 69-year-old man failed to return from a climbing trip in the Corrie Fee area of Glendoll in Angus last night. Prince William has been visiting towns in northeastern Australia, which were badly damaged during last month's cyclone. The prince was accompanied by the Premier of Queensland, Anna Bligh, who said he'd brought some much-needed royal magic. And the weather, largely dry and fine this afternoon with prolonged sunshine, especially across England and Wales. There'll be some sunshine for eastern Scotland too, but the odd shower may develop in northwestern Britain. And that's the BBC News and the weather. It's just after 3 minutes past one.
And that was Ian Skelly. Well, coming up in an hour's time, another chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime concert from Wigmore Hall in London. It's given by the Floristan Trio. They'll be playing two trios, one by Haydn, the piano trio in E-flat, Hoboken 15, number 29, and Dvorak's piano trio in F minor, opus 65. But now it's time to join Lucy Skeeping for The Early Music Show.
Ich zu dir komm, hinter dem Hof und rum und rum, freu dich, du schönes Bahnmeid. Ich komm, ich komm, ich komm, ich komm, ich komm, ich komm, ich komm. Thank you. ein jeder hat sein eigen Art, einer erzählt, der anders spart. Dummheit, dein Dumm, ich freu mich dann ganz um und rum, oh, ich freundlich zu dir komm, hinter dem Ofen und rum und rum, freu dich zu schönes Wahnheit, ich komm, ich komm, ich komm, ich komm, ich komm, ich komm, ich komm.
Welcome to the show, and a pretty racy song. It's by the 16th century Swiss-born composer Ludwig Zehnfel, who also produced Latin masses and motets for some of the great cathedrals and ducal chapels of the German lands. Next to theology, he wrote, I give to music the highest place and honour. But when it came to Lieder, Zehnfel's themes could be a good deal earthier. In fact, the text of Im Mayen we've just heard probably wouldn't be out of place in a Benny Hill sketch. In May we hear the cock crow, time to sow your oats. And the performers there were Christopher Watson and the harpist Andrew Lawrence King. Zehnfel spent many years at the court of Maximilian I. This Holy Roman Emperor was a cultured and music-loving fellow, and in today's programme we're going to hear works by some of those who helped to make his opulent court one of the most musical of its age. There'll be more from Zehnfel later on, but next up we meet Paul Haufheimer, a little older than Zehnfel, who served at the imperial court from the last decade of the 1400s up until the emperor's death. Haufheimer's speciality was the organ. He was considered the most distinguished player of his time, and he had lots of admirers, particularly when it came to the art of improvising. He uses such unending variety, someone wrote, that one can listen to him playing for years and wonder not so much where the oceans find the water to feed all the rivers as where this man finds his tunes. organist Georg Fischer with Tandernachen by Paul Haufheimer, musician at the court of Maximilian I. Maximilian was a Habsburg, a noble clan who could trace their ancestors back to the 10th century. They ruled the German lands. They enjoyed the title of King of the Romans and by the last decades of the 13th century, that of Holy Roman Emperor as well. In fact, by the time power had passed down to Maximilian's grandson, the family could also declare themselves in charge of the Netherlands, Spain, Naples, Sicily and even the American colonies. So they weren't short of a bob or two and consequently, like so many rich and powerful families, they developed a great interest in the arts. It was Maximilian, though, who was the first of them to really make an important contribution when it came to music. He was born in 1459, the long-awaited son of Emperor Frederick III and Eleanor of Portugal. After a childhood spent tucked away in the provinces, at the age of 18, a wife was chosen for him, Mary, the daughter of the Duke of Burgundy. It was, of course, a political union. Frederick was worried about Burgundy's ambitions to expand westwards, and a wedding was the perfect way to secure Mary's huge inheritance for the Habsburgs. In fact, it happened sooner than anyone predicted, when, after just 5 years of marriage, having provided an heir and a spare, Mary was killed in a tragic riding accident. Maximilian, meanwhile, set about establishing his own imperial chapel, and the first step was to employ a group of the best musicians he could find and to commission new music for them to play. Enter Jakob Obrecht, the son of a Ghent trumpeter. He'd already done stints at churches and courts around the Flemish lands and a couple of years in Italy for the Ferraras as well. And now came a commission to write a new work for Maximilian. What Obrecht produced was probably this, the Missa Subtuum Praesidium, a glorious full-scale mass for the Easter festivities. It's based on a single chant that features throughout the work, sung by the boys on the top line. And in this excerpt, the Gloria, it appears as a series of slowly changing long notes, whilst the lower voices in the foreground sing the words of the Mass.
Thank you.
The Gloria, part of Missa Sub Tuum Praesidium by Jacob Obrecht, written in 1503 for Emperor Maximilian I and performed there by the Clark's Group, directed by Edward Wickham. For much of his life, Maximilian and his court were on the move. Augsburg was his base for quite a time, and then Innsbruck and, of course, Vienna. But for his musical retinue, he looked to the Netherlands, which, in spite of its relatively small size, was producing some of the most impressive composers of the age. Obrecht, who we've just heard, was one. And another to make an impact on the Habsburg court was Heinrich Isaac from Flanders. We don't know much about Isaac's early life, but in 1485 we find him far from home in Florence, by order of the Medici family, no less, who sent for him, it was said, to sing in the cathedral choir. For 10 years, Isaac played a big part in the musical life of Florence, until towards the end of the 1400s, he came before Maximilian to apply for a post. He was snapped up immediately, given the title of Hofkomponist, or court composer, and dispatched with his wife to Vienna, toot sweet. We're going to hear one of his most famous pieces now. In fact, one of the most famous pieces in the entire Renaissance. It's a touching song based on a traditional melody that celebrates the great affection the Emperor Maximilian felt for the city of Innsbruck. Innsbruck, I must leave you, for I travel to distant lands. My joy has been taken away from me, and I will never find it again. This is the Early Music Consort of London, directed by the late David Munro.
Fremde Nacht, da ging, mein Freund ist mir.
Innsbruck, Ich muss dich lassen by Heinrich Isaac, court musician to Maximilian I during the late 15th and early 16th centuries. It was some 12 years before the emperor finally married again, and this time to Bianca Maria Sforza, daughter of the Duke of Milan. It was a magnificent wedding. The bride wore a bodice covered with hundreds of rubies and pearls, and she brought the Habsburgs a rich dowry of money and lands. But it was no love match. Bianca Maria may have been beautiful, but according to Maximilian, she was uneducated, talkative, naive, wasteful and careless. What's more, apparently she couldn't resist throwing off her shoes and getting down on the floor to play with some of the children of the court. Extremely undignified for the time, as you can imagine. But then the Holy Roman Emperor had other things on his mind. At regular intervals, the various dukes, princes and electors who governed the areas that made up the empire met to discuss politics, wars, money, titles, popes, you know, the sort of thing. These assemblies were known as the Reichstag, and for the one that was held in 1507, Maximilian commissioned two new pieces of music from Heinrich Isaac. Virgo Prudentissima was probably performed at the conclusion of this great assembly. It's a long work composed of duos and trios sort of linked together with a plain song chant traditionally sung on the Feast of Assumption. And when it came to the text, Maximilian himself was almost certainly consulted. After all, in such an important diplomatic meeting, the words would need to be suitably meaningful and symbolic. So while the first half contains the usual liturgy, richly embellished, the second has a new text, packed with obvious references to the emperor and the assembled company. You governors of the spirits, you archangels and angels, you thrones of princes, you powers, you dominions of heaven.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ensemble Hofkapelle, directed by Michael Proctor, with Virgo Prudentissima by Heinrich Isaac. I'm Lucy Skeeping, and in today's early music show, we're hearing about music at the court of Maximilian I. About 7 years after that motet was heard at the Reichstag Assembly, a new musician arrived at Maximilian's court, Heinrich Finck. OK, he was hardly new. In fact, he was by then an old man in his 70s. But he had no problem keeping up with the latest musical developments, apparently. In fact, his compositional style changed so much over the years that some younger musicians of the next generation found it hard to understand his earlier works at all, describing them as crude and strange. Others, though, have noted an element of humour in Finck's writing, and I agree, certainly when it comes to the three instrumental pieces we're going to hear now, with their foot-tapping rhythms and wacky combination of nasal-sounding wind instruments, shawms, crumhorn and kirtle, along with viols and recorders.
Thank you.
Camerata Hungarica, directed by Laszlo Sidra, with three instrumental pieces by Heinrich Finck, who passed through the court of Maximilian I around 1514, when he was 70 years young. More now from Ludwig Senfel, who we heard at the top of the programme. It's generally agreed that his true brilliance lay in songwriting, and what a range of styles and moods he produced. Drinking songs, bawdy songs, hunting songs, comic songs. I once even heard a song of his about bath nights. But of course, Senfel was also capable of serious songs of the highest quality, many of them characterised by a remarkable economy of sound, as we're going to hear now. The tenor Charles Daniels with Fretwork. Rather mysterious song, I Must Have Patience, by Ludwig Senfel, performed by Charles Daniels and Fretwork. Senfel travelled widely with the Emperor's Hofkapelle, and as he rose through the ranks, he came under the influence of the court composer Heinrich Isaac, becoming his copyist and collaborating on at least one major work. So when Isaac finally retired to Florence, It was entirely natural that his talented protégé should succeed him by order of His Imperial Majesty, Zenfall proudly recalled at the time. Mind you, in spite of his working in such a grand and palatial environment, Zenfall's music rarely shows any pomp or forced grandeur. It can be quite gentle and tender, with Italianate passages or unhurried lines, and often just a delightful simplicity. This is the Sanctus from his Missa Pascalis, performed by the choir of Sydney, Sussex, Cambridge, directed by David Skinner.
Thank you.
The Sanctus from Missa Pascalis by Ludwig Zenfel, court composer to the Holy Roman Emperor Maximilian I. Maximilian may not have been very handsome, but he was certainly a robust sort, an expert huntsman and a skilful knight. And he has such a passion for armour, which he saw as an art form, as much as a piece of battle equipment, that he one day presented a jousting helmet to his opposite number over in England, namely Henry VIII. Not that this was just any old jousting helmet, mind you. Oh no, this helmet had a visor modelled on Maximilian's own face, complete with eyes, nose and a grinning mouth. Even a pair of spectacles were painted on it, along with a fashionable sprinkling of designer stubble. So it was a shock when this very sporty emperor fell off his horse on the way back from Vienna. It was an accident that left him in pain for the rest of his life and so morbidly depressed that from then on he was said to have travelled everywhere with his own coffin, which in 1519 finally came in useful. Maximilian's funeral was held at St. Stephen's in Vienna, and the huge crowd of dignitaries and royals who came to pay their respect listened to Quis Dabit Oculis Nostris, a work composed by Zenfel. Or at least we thought so until recently, because we now know that it was actually by Constanzo Festa, and that it was second hand in that it had been written for the funeral of Anne of Bretagne some 5 years before. Maximilian's name had simply been slotted into the text to replace Anne's, with, of course, suitable rhythmic adjustments to accommodate the extra syllables. Germany, why do you bemoan? Music, why are you silent? Maximilianus, may he rest in peace.
Thank you.
Quis Dabit Oculis Nostris, performed by the Early Music Consort of London, directed by David Munro. And that ends today's Early Music Show, which was presented by Lucy Skeeping. In tomorrow's programme, Catherine Bott reflects on the life and music of the Habsburg court composer Johann Joseph Fuchs. And that's at the same time, a little after 1 o'clock, here on BBC Radio 3. Well, the time now is 2 o'clock, and we've a second chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime concert from Wigmore Hall. It's presented by Louise Fryer.
Pianist Susan Tomes, violinist Anthony Marwood and cellist Richard Lester make up the Floristan Trio. They've been at the top of their game for the past 16 years, performing at major venues all over the world. And today at Wigmore Hall, they're going to play one of Dvorak's most impressive and emotive chamber works, his F minor piano trio. It's an expansive piece that lasts some 40 minutes. Before it, music by another composer who spent time in Bohemia a century before Dvorak, Josef Haydn. His late piano trios were largely neglected, perhaps because they were conceived in an outmoded style. The piano centre stage, the violin and cello without too much creativity of their own. The idea was that this was music making for a domestic environment. A pianist could play alone if no fellow musicians were available. Haydn largely followed this convention, but the pieces he conjured were as forward-looking as any of his other works. The trio we're about to hear in B-flat major was the last of three, published in November 1794, during his second trip to London. Haydn's employer at Esterházy, Prince Anton II, had died at the start of that year, and the trios were dedicated to his widow. This one is certainly full of imperious splendour, demanding virtuosity of the players right from the start, and giving the violinist a degree of creative independence. The opening allegro is followed by an andante cantabile that's a sequence of variations on a theme given to the pianist's left hand alone before a sprightly minuet of a finale. And here to begin this Wigmore Hall recital come the Floristan Trio, Anthony Marwood, Richard Lester and Susan Tomes, taking their places for Haydn's piano trio in B-flat, Hoboken 15, number 20.